Washington DC. So if you happen to go to Washington DC anytime, the Dulles Airport has got the replica of the record encased in a glass piece. So, and together with a cartridge and the needle and all the instructions in symbolic languages. So, these are the instructions. And then, who took care of which part of the images and the sounds. So, the first thing is of course the images. There are 115 images primarily compiled by this man along with of course the help of many people. So, this I got from the book. Incidentally, the website of NASA or JPL, they have got a few images available online, but not all. It says they are protected by copyright, but I am reproducing them from the book. Okay, and right. So here is among all the pictures, I found that this is one remarkable sequence. How a child is born, then he grows up. And then this photograph is from the famous collection, The Family of Man. There are many other, of course, but this one is one of the remarkable sequences. And the interesting thing about this picture is that they contacted the person involved for reproducing the picture, you know. So, the interesting thing about this is that the grandfather is delivering the grandson and the father is taking this picture. So, physician delivering the younger Miller was the boy's grandfather and the photographs and the photographer's father. So, three generations. And among these pictures, the different types of buildings, you know, to represent that, they had the pictures of United Nations and all that and different other things also, but they wanted to show some typical buildings in our world. And okay, so that is the comment given alongside this figure, that out of a host of possibilities like Eiffel Tower, Gothic Cathedral, the Mayan Pyramid, we chose the Taj Mahal. Not to religion but to love, and thus was an appealing choice. It also generally regarded as one of the world's most beautiful buildings. So that I found maybe interesting. Now comes the greetings in different languages, the 55. Pardon me? These are all stills. No, that time it would have been very difficult to put in the videos. That would have taken a lot of space, and that time the videos were not around so much. All the still images and with comments. And comments of course not in language, but in the book. There is a description in the languages, but all are still photographs. So, if you wish, I can go back to the photographs once again, but all are still images. And then in the order it comes as now the greetings. Pardon me? Black and white, yes. And if you see the texts also, so they were like drawn by the handwritten, all those the numbers and all that, like we used to do earlier. So remember, this is being done in 77, the early or mid 77. So everything is black and white, and handwritten notes. So there are, of course, a horde of languages, but then what is remarkable is among 55 languages, 10 Indian languages find a place there. Why? Because of the proportionality of population. So that is what they clearly write. I mean, they were very much objective on this. Yeah, out of 55, so Chinese of course is there, and then comes 10 Indian languages among a total of 55. So just for your, I have to do it from here, isn't it? Yeah. So I'll just play the Gujarati and the Marathi one.
પૃથ્વી ઉપર વસનાર એક માનવ તરફથી બ્રહ્માંડના અન્ય અવકાશમાં વસનારાઓને હાર્દિક અભિનંદન. આ સંદેશો મળે વળતો સંદેશો મોકલાવશો.
નમસ્કાર. ત્યાં પૃથ્વીથી લોક તમારા તંચે શુભ વિચાર પાઠવતા અને તંચી ઈચ્છા આહે કે તુમી આ જન્મી ધન્ય હો.
So these are all transmitted with the hope that it can, if it can match with any one of these. Okay. Then comes the representative sounds of earth. Now I'll just add one thing. You can see the pictures of two ladies here. One is Linda Salzman Sagan. She was the wife of Carl Sagan that time, and while all this is being done, a drama is unfolding. Now An Ruyan was in charge of the selecting the representative sounds of earth, and she became his third wife in 1981. Okay, just an aside. Okay, so these are the representative sounds of the earth. You can see that. I'll just play two of them just for the Morse code first. Sound has to be increased. Morse code could be a nostalgic thing to hear. And in this, what I wanted to, because this may be too long for the audience, but then the sound of hyena particularly, it really resembles the laughter of human beings. You want to listen to that? See, in Bengali they say hyena rahachi, that is the laughter of hyena. So that is really resembles human beings' laughter. Now we come to the music segment where our focus is. This was compiled by Timothy Ferris with active cooperation from these two people. These two people's name has been repeatedly mentioned in the text, Robert Brown and Alan Lomax. They are the ethnomusicologists, and they studied you know, musics from all over the world, and possibly the world music terminology was coined after these people's effort. Now, the obvious question that one may ask is, what was the criteria of choosing this world music? Again, I am quoting from the book that I really like this statement, that contributions from a wide range of culture should be included, not just music familiar to the society that launched the spacecraft. Because there is a natural bias to do that. And nothing should be included out of merely dutiful concerns. And a lot of discussions went on. And then he says that we succeeded in presenting music of non-Western cultures, and half of the Voyager record is theirs, as you will see in the list. We owe our success to the cooperation of Brown, Lomax and others. And then some compositions promptly established themselves, out of which Kesarbhai Kerkar's performance of Indian Raga was recommended independently by two musicologists. So that found a automatic place in the whole list, and the Chinese composition of Flowing Streams. Okay, yeah. In fact, there is a lot of discussion on this in the book, that we are thinking from our point of view. So there could be an entirely different kind of beings, right, with different levels of intelligence, if at all. So highly speculative. So there's a lot of discussion on this topic in the book. And these are the list. This is the list of the music from Earth, in which I'll give you the quick statistics. Bach appears twice. Mozart appears once, Beethoven appears once, and there is no piece from Tchaikovsky, okay, maybe to accommodate the non-Western music. As he said, the half of that occupies the non-Western stuff. And this is the man, I am sure many of you are familiar with him, and Robert Brown said that if I could extend the list, it would include the following: a lively mridangam solo from India. And he says, who may well be the world's best drummer. I do not know whether Robert Brown was being, you know, but he did recommend it very highly. It was ultimately excellent. So Robert Brown said that if I have my, you know, if I can make the list, this will top the list. And incidentally, I got this record actually from one of my friends in Calcutta. So you can see that the 1278. So she bought it in 1978, just after 1 year. And how, you know, how much insistent was Robert Brown, it will be clear from this statements. It says, so Andrewian couldn't find that record. So she phoned Brown and asked him to suggest an alternative raga. And Robert Brown refused. What did he say? But you have to simply give me the name of a piece that we can fall back on. If we don't get it, then what happens? So he said, there is nothing close, he insisted, keep looking. Then Andrewian finally got it in a place in Lexington Avenue in some, you know, appliance store, and there she finally got it. And it's a thrilling piece of music. I phone Brown and find myself saying thank you over and over. Yeah. So, now, Kesar Bhai Kerkar was around Mabushan, and this is the ancestral house of Kesar Bhai at the village Keri in Goa. Incidentally, she was from Keri. She spent a few years, maybe one or two, in Kolhapur, and then finally settled in Mumbai. And I found a website which I acknowledge at the end. There they give all these photographs where her grand niece or someone, Shalaka Kerkar, they took some photographs and posted. This I like. And Gurudev Rabindranath Tagore honored her with Shurasri in a function in Calcutta. So that was way back, and the same title was conferred on her by Dr. Rajendra Prasad later. And Maharashtra government adorned her with the title Rajya Gayika. And this is the lyrics of the composition set to Rag Bhairavi. What you will see here in the next slide. So here is the song.
Yeah.
anywhere else, I don't think the audience would sit through this 3.5 minutes of record. In fact, I thought I'll stop it after 30 seconds. But going by the mood, I could know that I don't have to stop. So, many of you may be knowing about Kesarbhai Kerkar, but for everybody. So, she was from Athruli Jaipur Gharana and disciple of Ustad Aladia Khan. Aladia Khan was from north, but then he settled for some time in Kolhapur and then in Mumbai. It is also said that, you know, she was probably only one among three disciples of Ustad Aladia Khan, and she was very possessive about that part. I mean, it is said that she didn't want any other disciple of Aladia Khan. Anyway, so and other luminaries of Athruli Jaipur Gharana is Pandit Mallikarjun Mansur, Kishori Amonkar, and Mrs. Padmavati Shaligram, who was the teacher of Mangla, as I know. And she had come here for the AMA concert also. Kesarbhai honored by Dr. Rajendra Prasad. Dr. Rajendra Prasad was very much appreciative of the musicians, and this photograph I think was taken around 1953 or so, after he became the president. So he called all the eminent musicians of that time, and you can see that among the male dominated only Kesarbhai Kerkar. Yeah, 1950. It's on the 1950 only. Okay. Okay. Yeah. But I knew that immediately after 1950, but I was not sure of the exact year. So, she is the only lady participant that way. And just in case you wanted to know who the other stars were, so this is the list you can. And you can see Ravi Shankar Ji, Ustad Ali Akbar Khan, Pandit Kishan Maharaj, Keramatullah Khan, and sitting. Manohar Joshi, yeah, and he is D.V. Paluskar, yeah. Okay, can I go ahead? Okay. And she had got a very strong personality. She always held out honorably on her own. So Mangala here is Rajan Parikar saying, Parikar, quoting G.N. Joshi. In fact, he wrote this after the demise of Kesarbhai Kerkar. That, you know, what happened was, I cannot, you know, give the whole incident here, but basically, earlier the recordings was all on 78 RPM records. So the HMV wanted them to be compiled on a 33⅓ long play record. So they needed Kesarbhai's approval so that they can compile it into the long play records. But Kesarbhai somehow didn't like four of them. So she said, no, no, this is not up to my expectation, I will get it recorded again. But what happened was, she was not able to give time. You know, whenever they contacted, somehow she couldn't give the time. So then G.N. Joshi came to her and said that my boss is insisting you have to give a date. So then we cannot afford to wait any longer. So it naturally made her furious, and etc. Go and tell that fellow that Kesarbhai will never again enter the precincts of your studio. and possibly after that she refused to do any recording, and particularly on HMV after this incident. I mean, just to show his, show her, you know, strong personality. And in some other incident, somebody said that, "Ma, you are not making music records, your music will be lost. So whoever wants to listen to my music should join the Mehfil instead." So that was the attitude of many of the musicians of that period. I know one, you know, Sri Tarapada Chakraborty in Calcutta. He also didn't want to, you know, get recorded somehow, for some reason. So this is my question, or rather my proposal. Could a film be made on Kesar Bhai? So in 1996, a film on Begum Akhtar was made. And I feel the life of Kesar Bhai has enough interesting material for making a film if someone cares to do so. I met Dar today morning, and he said he has read this book, that this was the book which was my starting point. That is how I came to know about this topic at all. So the music, I like the book Music Room all the more because it describes all the facets of Kesar Bhai's life, including her follies, alongside her strong personality, and of course the highest quality of music. While the general tendency of Indian biographies is only to glorify. So I think there is enough interesting material to make a film on Kesar Bhai. Finally, isn't it a great pride for all of us that 40 years of space travel and 12 billion celestial miles later, the haunting Raag Bhairavi, which you just heard, rendition by Kesar Bhai, has been immortalized alongside the greatness of the Western musicians, whose names we know. There are many other selections, of course. And is now wandering through unexplored terrains of outer space till perhaps the end of time, till the voyager's last. And I'll finish off by pointing out a remarkable coincidence. Kesar Bhai died on the day the city celebrated the homecoming of Lord Ganesh. It was a rainy day in September 77, 16th to be precise. This date was not given in her book. I just checked in the almanac that it is indeed so. The Ganesh Chaturthi fell on the 16th of September. Voyager 2 and 1 were launched around the same time as the demise of Kesar Bhai. Comes the time for acknowledgement. I am indebted to Professor Gautam Mandal and Satyanarayana, the whole asset colloquium organizers, for giving me this opportunity. I sent the skeleton presentation to Gautam, and he immediately said, "Why not?" And then Jayati Sengupta, my friend of 48 years, who got me the rare copy of Murmurs of Earth. And these two websites you can have a look, and particularly this one, where this beautiful photograph, many other beautiful photographs and GIF files are there. And one name which is not mentioned here, I cannot really put in black and white, but I want to acknowledge my wife Sushmita, who took care of the mundane things while I thought of building a presentation on interstellar medium. So she took care of my mundane things and cooked very nice food while I prepared the slides. And now, this is no less important. I fondly remember a horde of talented people in TIFR during late 70s and 80s who really kindled my interest in classical music. As Satyanarayana said, I used to play tabla, I learned tabla, but then I didn't have a wide perspective of classical music. That blossomed only around 1979 with people like, whoever knows the name, Bajji, that is R. Ramachandran, and then Arvind Banerjee, he was in the mathematics group. Mangala, because she was involved with the AMA activities quite actively. So all these people, and you know, from 79 onwards there was no looking back. In TIFR, probably I learned about other things more than the academic stuff. The good film, what the good films were, what good music was, everything. My life was changed after coming to TIFR and 79 onwards. So I fondly remember these people. And you know, coming to TIFR is always a pleasant experience for me. And I thank everyone in the audience for their patience. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll just come closer because of the reverberation. Put that on again for you. Fantastic. There can't be anything better. Yeah. Okay. But what about the very big question you said? Yeah, but the one, they put it towards the end, as you can see. Only third from the bottom. The third from the bottom. And they say that why they put it there? Because it was preceded by one flowing stream of the Chinese music. And they said that it was a kind of complementary mood. That was a flow of, you know, very flowing kind of music. And here it was, you know, ethereal and very peaceful. So they wanted that change in the transition. That transition. So that is all the comment that I have read in the book. Yeah. Krishnan, right? Okay. I think cover was aluminium cover, right? That's what they say. The cover was aluminium cover. Yeah. And there is a, you know, long anecdote of how they raced against time, because they wanted to select something which will go on forever, but the time frame was only a few months. And that too 1 month during the last phase of the, because the technicians were waiting for the list. But they could finalize the list, because there was a lot of, you know, discussions going on, and naturally difference of opinion and all that. So very interesting anecdotes in those, in that book. Hello. That was made in 77. Oh, Kesarbhai's. Oh, Kesarbhai's, I do not know, maybe 78 RPM it was before that. And definitely before that, because they knew that the LP was cut, the LP was ready. So that is why they could finally get it in New York from someone. So that was in just before, I think it was August 77. Yeah, maybe. but already because they have given the reference to the LP record. So by that time it was compiled. So apparently it must have been done even earlier. Yeah. Recording first published in 1963, so that answers the question. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I even didn't notice that. No. It was just now I told you that episode that HMV wanted the LP being made out of those 78 RPMs. So it was done much later. And again, I am indebted to Satyanarayana, not only because of this, but while we loaded the thing, there was problem in the audio files, because whatever I brought, that had to be made compatible with the new one. So he put in a lot of efforts in doing that, and the effect of that rotating record. So I got the GF file all right, but he did the final editing. Yeah, so if all of you agree, I'll play that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, again, that reminds me. There was a time when, after the lunch, there was 1 hour period in which one could come here and listen to the music here. And the lights were very much dim. I remember having listened to Kedar by Pandit Bhimsen Joshi in one of those occasions.
Sarma